There we go. All right. So good morning, everyone. It's nice to see so many of you. I hope, particularly from the St. Peter's contingent, that you're enjoying Christian being with you and all the different things that has ha had this week and the coronation last weekend. I hope that you're all well, and I hope that you enjoy our time together in worship this morning. I have Sally helping me this morning. Sally's in her own home and she's doing it from there. So when Sally will unmute herself and do the readings and the prayers. Okay. So I just have a few notices. We've got a Bible study starting in the X-Valley with Tim Gorringe, and the first one is on the 15th of May, and it's going to be held at Margaret Cunningham's house at 2 p.m. and it's going to be once a month. And then we've got Thy Kingdom Come, which runs from the 18th of May to the 28th of May, and Steph will be leading a short compline service, and that will be on Zoom using this site, this Sunday morning Zoom service site, and everyone is welcome to that. That's at 6 o'clock every day between the 19th and 27th. Then the X Valley Choir, we're having our regular rehearsals on Thursday. It's quite large, it's about 30 of us, and we're having our celebration Pentecost service at Calverley, and that's on the 28th of May, which is the bank holiday weekend, and the full choir will be leading us in worship then. Okay, so that's all our notices for this morning. So let's prepare our hearts. Let us be glad and sing for joy, lifting praises to our gracious God, whose light shines upon us. Holy God, we bow in adoration. There is no need of sun or moon in the radiance of your majesty. We bow in adoration, basking in the light of your love and exalting your name. Son of God, we bow in adoration. Lamb of God, you light up our world with your glory. We bow in adoration, basking in the warmth of your saving grace and exalting your name. Holy Spirit, we bow in adoration, blessing of God's goodness. You cause our hearts to leap for joy. We bow in adoration, basking in the power of the river of life and exalting your name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bow in adoration, basking in the eternal light and exulting in the powerful glory of your radiance. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the feast, not with the old leaven of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, Christ has once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Lord, your love is so precious that we have turned away from you. When our lives have been easy, forgive us and help us. You have commanded us to love others, but we have turned away from them when their lives have been difficult. Forgive us and help us. You have shared with us your ministry of welcome, but we have turned people away. Forgive us and help us. For the sake of Jesus, whose life and death, deeds and words have saved us. Amen. Through the blood of the Lamb, we are forgiven and cleansed. Let us praise God for his Son, the Lamb, who through the cross paid the price for our sins. Thanks be to the Lamb of God. Amen.
And the first reading today is taken from Acts 17. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are very ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, for he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So to the psalmody, all the earth shall worship you, O Lord. Be joyful in God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your strength, your enemies shall bow before you. All the earth shall worship you. Sing to you. Sing praise to your name. All the earth shall worship you, O Lord. Come now and behold the works of God, how wonderful he is in dealing with humankind. He turned the sea into dry land, the river they passed through on foot. There we rejoiced in him. In his might he rules forever. His eyes keep watch over the nations. Let no one rebel, rise up against him. All the earth shall worship you, O Lord. Bless our God, O you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, who hold our souls in life and suffers not our feet to slip. All the earth shall worship you, O Lord. How generous is your goodness, O God. How great is your salvation. How faithful is your love. Help us to trust you in trial and praise you in deliverance, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And we come to the second reading, which is from John 14. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you. So I'm going to be talking about the Acts reading, where Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus. Paul was brave, and he said, "I see you are a very religious people of Athens, for I've looked around and seen your objects of worship, including the one which says to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship." A very brave thing to say. He then goes on to say who God actually is. So Paul's sermon demonstrates his ability to engage with the Athenian culture and philosophy of his time. He uses their own religious philosophical references to connect them and bridge the gap between their worldview and the message of Christianity. Similarly, in today's multicultural and diverse world, this approach reminds us of the importance of understanding and engaging with our different cultures, our different beliefs and perspectives, when we share our faith. We need to engage in meaningful conversation with anyone who would like to talk to us. I wonder what Paul would say to us if he stood up in maybe question time, or maybe if he stood up in the Houses of Lords or the Houses of Parliament, or in Tiverton Market, or stood up in St. Peter's Church or any of our churches in the Exe Valley and said, "People of the Tiverton area, I see you are very religious." I wonder what he would have noticed and seen. He may have said things like, "I see you are constantly communicating on your phones. I see you spend time doing and checking your Facebook, your Instagram, browsing and filling your homes with objects of beauty online, Amazon, John Lewis." How do you think he would comment on the whole new thing of artificial intelligence? Is that, I wonder, becoming our God? I was having lunch with a friend a couple of weeks ago. It was my best friend, actually. Her mum was 90, as my mum's going to be 90 soon. And we were sat having lunch with our elderly parents. And she said, "Gosh, Claire, look at this." And she showed me her Snapchat, a thing that had just come through. And it was saying to her, "Hello, I'm your artificial intelligence bot. How can I help you today?" Just popped up on her phone. And I just thought, and we both laughed together. I said, it almost makes an alternative to prayer. We have an artificial intelligence person that can answer your questions. It almost makes an alternative to prayer, which is shocking and horrifying. If only every day people talk to God in that way. "Hello, God, how can I help you today?" You know, "God, how can you help me today as well?" And have that kind of conversation. But instead, the first thing we often look at in the mornings is our phone. So Paul was putting the message of the gospel into context, wasn't he, when he was talking to the Athenians, addressing the concerns that they were familiar with, to convey the actual truth of the gospel. He acknowledges their search for meaning and points them towards the one true God. His approach highlights the importance of effectively communicating the nature of who God is in a manner that resonates with people's lives and addresses their deepest needs and their deepest questions. So one of my sons is temporarily working for Jeff Bezos, the Amazon company, and he's a driver in the toughest area of Torquay. And he came home two nights ago, his eyes wide open. He said, "Mummy, I have seen people who really need God." And that opened up a huge discussion about that. God is needed by everyone, and God is nearer than we think. Nothing is hopeless, and all we need is him. So Paul portrays the inclusive and good nature of the message that he brings. He said that God created all people, and he said that he desires everyone to seek him and find him. And this reminder is especially relevant today when our societies are becoming increasingly diverse, the gap between the rich and the poor. Paul encourages us to embrace and recognize that the gospel is for everyone, regardless of their culture, ethnic background, or age. So Paul challenges the Athenians, doesn't he, to abandon their idols and embrace the truth of Christ. So today, this sermon reminds us of the ongoing need for a personal move towards God and the call to turn away from the false gods of our time, such as materialism, consumerism, individualism, and all the other isms that we can think of and idols that suck from us the time that we have and that hinder our relationship with God. Our Creator God gives life and breath and everything else. He is known. He is not made by human hands. He is not artificial. God has made the nations. He has appointed your time in history and where you live. God doesn't live in temples and buildings or images made by humans. It says in verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring." So Paul's message in the Areopagus encourages us to engage with culture, not ignore it, but instead contextualize God's great news here and now. Maybe you can compare it to the latest Netflix series you've been watching when you're having a discussion with a friend. Using your God-inspired reasoning and emphasizing the repentance and conversion and change that that good news brings. These principles are relevant for us as Christians today, and we seek to live out our faith as effectively as we can to share the message of Christ, which is such good news for our modern world. Amen.
And so we turn to prayer. Lord God, your spirit of truth lives with us and in us and guides our prayers, which we lift before you. We pray for all the nations of the world, for Sudan, where thousands of people are undertaking long, dangerous journeys in a bid to flee to neighboring countries, for the World Food Programme, which is finding their resources strained under the growing number of refugees. We pray for all countries facing food shortages and famine. we pray for Afghanistan, where the hospitals lack necessary equipment and medical supplies. Lord God, bring peace, provide sustenance and healing, and make a way for vital supplies to get through to those in need. We lift our prayers before you. We pray for the persecuted, for those throughout the world who are coming to faith in you and having to worship in secret. Lord God, provide strength and safekeeping for all who are in danger because they worship and follow you. We lift our prayers before you. We pray for our communities. We pray for all in our communities who give and reach out to others of all ages in youth groups, luncheon clubs, sports activities, visiting the lonely, and many, many other ways. We pray for all giving and collecting for the work of Christian Aid this week. We pray you will guide all leaders in our communities. Be with our newly elected councillors. May they seek to serve and to make a difference for the better of our communities. We lift our prayers before you. We pray for the sick, especially Jax, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Tony, Donald, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Joy, Graham, Peter, Rosemary, and Eunice. And we pray for those sick in mind and body. We pray also for those who are care for the sick and for the vulnerable, our nurses, doctors, and support workers. We pray for the pharmacists as they are given greater responsibilities to relieve the strain on surgeries. And we also pray for those who have died. Julian Cunningham, Roger Arnold, our friend Michael Berry, Ken Reed, and Rod Hilton. We pray for your spirit to guide all those who are in need to help and access the right treatment. Bring people into their lives who can help them restore by coming alongside, listening and showing your healing love. We lift our prayers before you. We pray for your church. We pray for all who minister in your name, Lord God. May your church be guided to reach out to the lost and show your light of love. May we be witness to your living truth, for in you we live, move, and exist. May we shine in your light in the darkness. We lift our prayers before you. Amen.
The Collect for the sixth Sunday of Easter. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death, he has called us to life, so by his continual presence in us, he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Rejoicing in God's new creation, as our Saviour taught us, so we say, Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Glorious God, you shine your light into the dark places of our lives and of our world. Gentle God, you touch us with your healing love and make us whole. We ask you to be with us and shine through us this week and use us to bring hope and healing to others. Amen. Amen. It's so lovely to see your faces and hear you on the phones. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank Claire, you. And it's hear you. It's great to join with everybody in the X Valley at these services. It's very, very meaningful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well said, Derek.
Yeah.
We all enjoy it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.